You're listening to an edited version of a longer podcast available at www.cmmayo.com/podcast. Of the PennSoul Literary Magazine Reading Series event on February 22, 2012, featuring Gerard Helfrich reading from and discussing Stone of Kings, and C.M. Mayo discussing her translation, the first into English, of Francisco I. Madero's Secret Book of 1911, Spiritist Manual. This edited version of the podcast features C.M. Mayo.
Program is C.M. Mayo. C.M. Mayo is a travel writer, poet, and novelist. His most recent work is, actually this is not true, but we will correct it later on, is The Last Prince of the Mexican Empire, a historical novel based on a true story of mid-19th century Mexico, named a best book of 2009 by Library Journal. The novel was widely launched as, in the words of the Austin American statesman, a swashbuckling, riotous good time, befitting the fairy tale promise of the opening sentence. Nonetheless, it is based on extensive original archival research, and she has lectured widely about it at the Library of Congress, the Center of UX Mexican Studies, UCSD, the Harry Ransom Center at the University of Texas, Austin, and elsewhere. Her previous book, Miraculous Air, is a travel memoir, rich with research and original interviews of Mexico's Baja California Peninsula from Los Cabos to Tijuana. Mayo's translations of Mexican contemporary literature have appeared in numerous journals and anthologies. Most recently, Three Messages and a Warning, Contemporary Mexican Short Stories of the Fantastic, and Best Contemporary Mexican Fiction, as well as Mexico, A Traveler's Literary Companion. I think her most recent work, which is available online, but soon I hope to be available as a hard copy, is called The Spiritist Manual, and it's a translation. In 1911, the leader of Mexico's revolution of 1910, Francisco I. Madero, published a secret book under a pen name from the Bacada Vida, Bima. This was the Manual Espirita, or Spiritist Manual, a frankly evangelical work which, given not only the subject matter, but Madero's position as a leading presidential candidate, was enormously threatening to the Catholic Church. Mexican historians Enrique Grace and others have written about Madero's spiritism and mediumship and their profound influence on his political decisions. Whatever one may think of spiritism, and I think that C.M. Mayo will define that for us, Madero's Spiritist Manual is vital to understanding not only his actions, but the revolution of 1910 itself. I give you C.M. Mayo.
Thank you so much, Eva. Thank you for that very warm and generous introduction, and also for everything you do for Soul Magazine and organizing this. And thank you all for coming. I'm really honored to be here, and a very warm thank you to Eva and Judith Hill, who helped out a lot, and Zina Kaufman and Elizabeth Starcevich. And well, I'm just very grateful that you made the effort to put this together, and I'm very honored to read together with Gerard, who I'm a big admirer of his work. And actually, I don't have time. If I had an hour, I'd read you a little bit from The Last Prince of the Mexican Empire. I'll have that for sale afterwards. If you want to pick up a copy, I'll be very happy to sign it. This is the novel. But what's fun about it is there's a little scene where my characters were reading Humboldt. He's the author of Humboldt's Cosmos. It was very influential, in fact, in Maximilian von Habsburg's decision to accept the crown of Mexico. And that is what my novel is about. But I'm going to talk to you today about something that's not mine. It's something I translated. A very strange book. One other person, whoops, I should mention before I get started, is Kelly Vandiver. I don't know if he's here, but I know a lot of you probably know him. He's an artist here with gallery at the Fabrica La Aurora. His amazing painting of a flower with an eye in it is on the cover of the book. And also on that little card I passed out. And I also passed out this one sheet to hopefully orient you as I go. The book, Spiritus Manual, by Francisco Madero, from 1911, with my translation, which came out in November, so it came out on its centennial, the first translation ever, is right now available as an ebook on Kindle. It will soon be an iBook, and hopefully very soon also, as Eva kindly said, hopefully also a hardcover. So if you want to get a copy, you're going to have to get it from Amazon.com. That said, even if you don't have a Kindle or the ebook thing just isn't your bag, I encourage you to come visit the website, which is sammeow.com, Spiritus Manual, or you can just Google Spiritus Manual and you should get me. It has a lot of excerpts and the table of contents and a lot of other resources for researchers, because one of the points I'm going to make in my brief talk today is that I think this is a very essential book for trying to comprehend the revolution itself and Maduro himself, as strange as it might seem to many people. So on the website, I have a lot of resources for researchers, a lot of bibliography, and so on and so forth. So anyway, the first thing that you'll see on this little handout is a picture of Don Francisco himself when he was president of Mexico. And the second one is a cover of the Manual Espírita itself, from the archive. And where is the archive? Well, that's picture number 3 over on the right-hand side, Palacio Nacional, Mexico's National Palace, which is where the president, the presidency has its office, in addition to Los Pinos, of course. And also there are the offices of the Secretary of Treasury, of Hacienda. And within that is a museum to Benito Juarez, which is open to the public. And there is also the archive of Francisco Madero, which is also open to the public. So you can go in there and have a look yourself, and you will find in that archive many that book, the Manual Espírita, and also his channeled messages, because he was a medium. He was a writing medium, and the spirits told him, he wrote it down, that he had to start the revolution, and he had to run for president, and he had to do all sorts of things. And there it is. Completely there for you to see. Very interesting. The fourth thing that I'll mention on this little handout is a little clip from the Spirits book by Alan Kardec. That's over on the right-hand side. That's the most important work of literature on Spiritism. And down, let's see, at the very bottom in the middle is a little picture of table tipping. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Part of the spiritualist and Spiritist rituals was having seances where the spirits would tip the tables. In the lower left-hand corner, there's a Ouija board or something similar to that. They called it a planchette at that time. And then kind of in the middle, there's a picture of Hermes or Thoth, the Egyptian god. And then finally, in the bottom right-hand corner, there is an image from the Bhagavad Gita of Krishna. And these are all relevant to what this is about, and that's why they're on there. Okay, so what is the Spiritus Manual? What is this thing? It was at the behest of the Second Latin American Spiritist Congress, held in Mexico City in 1908, of which Maduro was a main organizer and patron. Maduro undertook to both write and publish a work aimed at converting presumably Catholic and literate, but not necessarily well-educated Mexicans to Spiritism. So in other words, the language is very simple. Very direct. What is Spiritism? A doctrine imported from France in the latter half of the 19th century. Though he signed the preface in 1909, Maduro finished writing his Spiritus Manual in 1910. and it was published the following year, 1911. 5,000 copies were printed. In Mexico at that time, this represented a very substantial print run. Even today, 3,000 is a pretty big print run in Mexico. Madero took his pen name Bhima, spelled B-H-I-M-A, from a warrior and the Hindu holy book, the Bhagavad Gita. In his correspondence with fellow spiritists, he urges that his identity as the author not be revealed. He was concerned that this proselytizing could undermine his political agenda in a time when, on the one hand, the Catholic Church, on the other, Mexico's intellectual elite, the so-called científicos, would have been hostile. In fact, they were hostile. They all knew who Madero was, for under his real name, he was the author of a sensational book published in 1909 called La Sucesión Presidencial en 1910, The Presidential Succession in 1910, a polemic that literally launched the Mexican Revolution. Let me say that one more time. The Mexican Revolution was launched with a book. Okay, think about what that means. That is amazing. And just as an aside, if you want to read more about that, I think the easiest way to come into that is Enrique Krauss's book on Madero, which is still in print. It came out in the 80s. It's from Fondo de Cultura Económica. And you can also find it in Krauss's English language tome, Biographies of Power. That entire book pretty much is reproduced as a chapter out of Madero. Apart from its extraordinary content, and the fact that Madero's Spiritist Manual is one of the earliest Spanish language manifestos of this new religion, what stands out about this work is that it was prepared precisely during the period when Madero's political career was rocketing to its apex. He was campaigning throughout the country for the Mexican presidency, then fighting the Mexican Revolution, both in Mexico and variously from exile in Texas and New Orleans. And by the way, he spent his time in New Orleans largely in public library reading the Bhagavad Gita. And then running again for the presidency, which later in 1911 he was to win. As Mexican historians Enrique Krause, Yolia Tortolero, Alejandro Rosas, and Manuel Guerra, among others, have emphasized, Madero's spiritism undergirded his political philosophy and actions as candidate for the presidency, as leader of the revolution, and as president, many of which were incomprehensible to and were misinterpreted by both his supporters and his adversaries. For this reason, the Spiritist Manual is a fundamentally important work for anyone who would study Madero and the Mexican Revolution. It's also a vital work in the history of both Spiritism itself and modern Gnostic Christianity. Whatever your personal beliefs may be, I would argue that it would be intellectually naive to dismiss it as mere superstition, as most people who first heard it, and indeed most of his biographers do. Spiritism emerged in the context of the mid to late 19th centuries far-reaching scientific experimentation. Moreover, it has its place alongside other religions that emerged in the same century, among them Christian Science, Mormonism, Spiritualism, and Theosophy. The doctrine of Spiritism, I have to admit, I had actually done a lot of reading on fairly esoteric subjects, and so I thought this was going to be pretty easy to translate. But I was not familiar with Spiritism. What I knew was Spiritualism, which is a little different. And most English language, English speakers coming from an Anglo-American tradition have heard of Spiritualism. Spiritism's a little bit different. The doctrine of Spiritism was formulated by Allan Kardec. He was born in 1804 and died in 1869. And that is who you see on the little handout on the far right-hand side of the Book of the Spirits. He was a French educator. And in his several books, among them the Book of the Spirits from 1857 and the Medium's Book from 1861, he was inspired by American spiritualism, the UA, or spiritualism. But these Kardec's books are based on his own extensive interviews with spirits who purportedly communicated with him through French mediums. And these interviews led him to conclude, departing from the American spiritualists at that time, that spirits reincarnate in life after life as they evolve into greater states of consciousness. So spiritualists at that time did not espouse reincarnation, but spiritists did. According to his adherents, spiritism is at once a science, a philosophy, and a religion. The science examines the nature of spirits and the invisible world, while the philosophy, among other things, holds that humanity evolves through multiple reincarnations, and the religion presented in Christian terms, Jesus Christ as, to quote Kardec, the epitome of the moral perfection to which humanity can aspire on earth, that the universe is a creation of a loving God. A slender book of less than 100 pages, Majoris Spiritus Manual, is firmly in the tradition of Kardec's works. However, it incorporates ideas from more contemporary spiritists, because Madero was writing more than 50 years later. He cites various writers and scientists in the spiritist, spiritualist, and theosophist traditions, as well as ideas from Hinduism and the Hermetica, the ancient Egyptian philosophy of Thoth, or Hermes, a mythological sage god whose writings were preserved through fragments of Greek translations and brought into Western culture during the Renaissance. I should also mention here that he was very influenced by Edouard Chouret, who was a French writer with a book that's still in print in many languages called The Great Initiates. And Chouret was a contemporary of Rudolf Steiner, the founder of the Waldorf schools and anthroposophy. And he was also a big friend of Wagner, the composer, and Nietzsche. So the book, Madero's book is divided into six sections. First, a brief overview of the doctrine of spiritism, some historical background covering the divine missionaries, Krishna, Hermes, Moses, and Jesus, and that is mostly straight out of Edouard Chouret. And the spiritist revelations, which began with the phenomenon of table tipping earlier in the 19th century, first in upstate New York, of all places. It began in upstate New York and later in Europe. The third section examines mental and spiritist phenomena. A fourth, the philosophical, covers spiritist theories of the perispirit, astral projection, which is out-of-body travel, phantoms, mechanical or automatic writing, in other words, just writing mediums, receiving, channeling that they just channel into their hands, apparitions, reincarnations, and God, and finally, morality. The section on morality being the key chapter, I think, for anyone who wants to understand him as a political actor. He really makes very clear why, if you are a good person, you're going to be a spiritist, and if you're a good spiritist, you're going to be a Democrat. You're going to want to go vote. And then finally, he supplies a summary. So that is the nature of the book. It's a really strange book, I have to say. The process of translating it, I just offered to translate it when I saw it because I had just come out of writing my novel, which is based on the French intervention in Mexico's Second Empire during the 1860s. And in doing all that research, much of which was archival, I really came to deeply appreciate how many vital works are not translated. And once you translate them, let's say from the German or from the French or into Spanish or into English, it changes completely how people think about and write about something. And because these kinds of things, you know, there's usually not somebody handing out money saying, please go translate this. It's really something that you, as someone going through the archives, find, and just out of the, you just feel moved to do it, and so you do it. And if later you can publish it and make a few pennies, that's great. But you really, it's really a labor of love and understanding the need to have it translated. And so when I saw this book, The Spiritist Manual, when I happened to have a tour, I was just like being a tourist, having a tour of the archive. I saw it and I said, has anyone translated that? No. And I thought, well, I'll do it. And they're like, why did I say that? Okay, but I did. And I thought it would be easy. It's not a very big book. And I've done a lot of literary translation, and it's not literary, so I thought I could do it in a few weekends. But it turned out that I really needed to understand the context that it came from. And so I had to do an awful lot of reading on spiritism, spiritualism, and theosophy, and hermetica, and a lot of really way out stuff that I just wouldn't have thought to read about, and it was really an education for me to be able to come in then and put it in some kind of context. One of the questions that I always get is, why is this book not available? Why is it that it took 100 years for somebody to translate it into English? And a related question, can we find it in Spanish? It did come out in the 70s in an edition that I have not been able to find. So if you want to find the original, you're going to have to go to the archive. That may change at any moment, however. I recently was on archive.org, which has a lot of out-of-copyright works, and I found his Sucesión Presidencial en 1910, his presidential succession book. I found it on there. So maybe when you check, someone will have gotten at this Curtis manual. But right now, 2012, there are works about it, but they're pretty tough to find, and it's tough to find the actual book. Why is that? I think there are several reasons, but most importantly, with a very few notable exceptions, historians have steered far clear of Maduro's spiritism because there's an expression in Mexico, which I really like, which is called "las ñañeras." Ñañeras. It's like creepy. It creeps them out. And then there's a fancy term for the source of this discomfort, which is cognitive dissonance. Here they are studying an educated man who, in the name of justice and democracy, successfully overthrew a dictatorship. He was elected president of Mexico. And yet who of sound mind dares to admit they believe in invisible beings, tables tipping without human agency, and that they can hear messages from the beyond? These days, most people who hear voices telling them they have a great destiny end up in a hospital where they are dosed with some pretty heavy-duty pharmaceuticals. It's well documented that Maduro claimed he channeled messages from spirits whom he believed advised him at many critical turns in his comet-like political career. In his determination to unleash a revolution in 1910, he was also profoundly influenced by the Hindu holy book, the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm going to skip over all of this. But also that I think just mentioning the Bhagavad Gita, just mentioning a Hindu holy book in most Mexican leading social and intellectual circles at that time would have been enormously threatening and bizarre. Okay. Not surprisingly, at the first wind of Spiritism, the Pope slapped all of Kardec's works on the Vatican's list of prohibited books, and the Church openly said the seance, which is a key ritual of Spiritism and Spiritualism, the seance is communing with the devil. Okay, so it was kind of difficult where most people were Catholic and the Church was very powerful to espouse Spiritism. It just makes people hugely uncomfortable. So what I'm saying is that for most of those who would celebrate Maduro's heroic service to the nation, and it was heroic, it really was, this esoteric business was and is even today, for many people, a hobgoblin to keep inside a well-bolted cupboard. That said, just a brief note before I conclude. José Juan Tablada's 1910 play, Madero Chanticleer, portrayed Maduro invoking spirits. It did cause some uproar. And during his presidency, which ended with his murder in 1913, during his presidency, newspapers did relish printing caricatures of him as a medium. It was like a big rumor, gossip, that most people refused to believe. Or if they knew it was true, they were very aggressive in saying how terrible this was, that he was a spiritism. So for decades after his death in Mexico, the, quote, apostle of democracies, spiritism, was still spoken of in whispers as cheesing or gossip. Not until 1960, nearly half a century after Madero's death, with José Valadez's Imagen y Realidad de Francisco Madero, or Madero Image and Reality, was a collection of documents and an overview of Maduro's spiritist activities made in print. In 1973, José Natividad Rosales published a slender paperback of his letters and some of his channelings aimed at the mass market. And in 78, as I mentioned, Gustavo de Anda reprinted the Manuel Espirita, but I've been looking for it for 3 years now and I haven't been able to find it anywhere. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, I just can't find it. Nonetheless, the fact is 7 decades had passed before any major Mexican historian addressed Madero's spiritism in depth and seriousness, and that was Enrique Krause with Madero Místico de la Libertad in 1987, which I mentioned to you. There's an awful lot more about this with a lot of Q&A, extensive A to the Q, on the website, where I go into some of the movies that have been made and Ignacio Solares' novels, Madero, El Otro, and some other things of that nature. But it really is astonishing that such a major figure has a major work that is just so difficult to find and is untranslated. So I felt it was important to bring it forth, and it was very satisfying to do so. And I appreciate your listening. Thank you very much.
For more about C.M. Mayo, the book, and more podcasts, visit www.cmmayo.com. More about the sponsors of this reading, San Miguel Pen and Sol Literary Magazine, can be found at www.sanmiguelpen.com and www.solliterarymagazine.com.